remaining proficient. Is recurrent ground school as important as recurrent flight instruction? I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. My guest is Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves, the journal for the proficient pilot, also the proprietor of Bob Miller Flight Training, based at the Buffalo Lancaster Airport in Western New York. Bob, thanks for joining us today.
As always, Paul, it's my pleasure.
Bob, in your current issue of Over the Airwaves, the May issue, you mention the upcoming ground school refresher course for pilots that's going to be offered at your local airport. Before we get into the specifics of this course and what it involves over 13 weeks, I was fascinated when I thought about the notion of what we think of as proficiency. You and I have talked a number of times, and the FAA requires, flight reviews at least every 2 years, and that includes at least an hour each of flight, in-flight, and on-the-ground training. Your course coming up is a 13-week ground school course for existing pilots. It's designed as a refresher course. Is this an important aspect of staying proficient, as important as getting that equivalent amount of time in the air?
Well, let me answer that question, Paul, by recounting a conversation I had with an individual that I was doing a flight review for. He's an experienced pilot, pretty good stick and rudder fellow, had no real difficulty with getting through the flight review with me. He's a good pilot. But I just happened to ask him what the stall speed in his Cessna 172 was. And he says it's right around 40 knots. And I said, okay, let's put this airplane into a steep turn, a 45-degree bank angle steep turn, and tell me again what the stall speed is. And he says, I said, Bob, it's 40 knots. And I said, really? In a steep turn, the stall speed remains the same? And he says, yeah, look, it's right here on the airspeed indicator, right here at the bottom of the green arc. And so when we got on the ground, we had a little bit of a conversation about basic aerodynamics and what happens to stall speed when we bank the airplane. And then I tried to tie that back to him, for him, with the fact that we have on average once a week a fatal stall spin accident, usually in the traffic pattern. And we have to ask ourselves, why did this happen? Did it happen because the individual was not particularly good in his stick and rudder skills? Or did he really fail to understand that in a 45 to 60 degree bank, our stall speed increases dramatically? And so that was the subject, that is the subject of our opening session on our 13 week course. Just a simple rule, review of basic aerodynamics. And all the way through the subjects, and we can talk about each of the subjects, there's been so much that has evolved in the last several years that many pilots who took their private or any of their ratings a number of years ago, so much of this stuff has happened subsequent to that particular study period in their lives.
All right, now let's talk about that as an example of a bit of information that everybody has to learn in private pilot primary training that can slip away over the years. I think back to my training, and there was quite an emphasis put on maintaining certain benchmark speeds at certain points in the pattern. And among those was a speed on downwind and base that would be adequate to cover you in a 60-degree turn without putting you into a stall. However, I think that maybe for some people, having those arbitrary benchmark numbers lets them forget about the reason behind them.
Precisely, Paul. I couldn't have said it any better. We memorize those speeds because we use that as a handle or a memory aid to achieve a stabilized approach, descent, and landing. But when an individual trains on a Cessna 172 where the speeds in those turns are 65 and 70, and then he transitions to a fast glass airplane or a larger airplane where the speeds are 10 to 15 knots higher, and he slips back into the Cessna 172 speeds, he has to understand, or she has to understand, that by doing that, you place yourself at an enormous risk of experiencing what we know to be an accelerated stall. In fact, if we ask the body politic of most general aviation pilots, ask them to even define a cross-controlled stall or an accelerated stall, ask many instructors, I dare say, and they would be hard-pressed to provide a reasonable answer as to what it is. But the net effect, the bottom line at the end of the day, if we do not understand those basic aerodynamics and why airplanes increase, there's an increase in stall speed, then we're operating with one arm behind our back. And I think just a simple explanation of that is all that we need to develop a whole new bit of awareness.
All right, now you have a number of other topics on your list for this 13-week course. When we come back from the break, let's go down them briefly one by one and just describe what's going to be involved in them. Bob Miller is my guest of Over the Airwaves. We'll be back in a moment. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
This is a story of two pilots. Our first guy, the one with Garmin Waas GPS, he just arrived home from a trip, ready to enjoy a nice home-cooked meal with his supermodel girlfriend.
Chérie, viens près moi.
But our other guy, the pilot without Waas, well, he couldn't quite make it home. Had to divert to an airport with an ILS approach. So now it's dinner from a vending machine in some crummy pilot's lounge. You know which pilot you want to be. Garmin Waas GPS. Follow the leader.
Chérie.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 G2. Interested in a substantial airplane that remains practical and affordable? Whether you're a non-pilot looking to begin flying lessons, a pilot needing personal transportation, or a fleet customer selecting the best plane to meet the demands of a multiple aircraft operation, consider the SR20 G2. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. Paul Plack here with Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves, and we're talking about Bob's upcoming 13-week pilot refresher ground course. It'll be offered a course a week for 13 weeks at the Buffalo Lancaster Airport in Western New York, where Bob's flight school is based. Bob, maybe I've assumed too much. Are you going to be presenting this course?
Yes, I'll be presenting it, as well as members of my teaching staff. We'll be working together and presenting it. And we're going to have some guest speakers coming in also to help with it. Wednesday, May 13th is when the class begins. It's a 13-week course, and for people who feel that they may not be able to attend all 13 weeks, we plan to run it consecutively over and over and over again. If the first one does well, we're just going to continue running them every Wednesday night. So if you miss session number 6 this go around, you can catch it in the next go around.
Okay, and it's $99 for the whole 13 weeks.
$99, and there's Wings credit. We have Wings approval on it, and they can see and look at it through FAAsafety.gov. You can register online.
Okay, now let's talk about some of the other topics in your syllabus for 13 weeks here. One is web-based aviation weather reports. Now, for many pilots who've been flying for a long time, this may not be a refresher. They may be doing this for the first time.
There's no question about that. The evolution of web-based weather sites is just absolutely remarkable, particularly the new experimental sites that are dealing with icing, for example. And there's lots of new sites. And we have the U.S. Weather Service right here in Buffalo. We're friends with those folks over there, and they're going to help us out in pointing out and explaining to our participants some of these new sites.
Okay, classes of airspace. I struggled with this when I was going through primary training, and I spend very little time flying around upside-down birthday cakes, so I'd imagine a lot of people are in that same circumstance.
Well, our home airport is located right underneath that upside-down birthday cake, so when you take off of our Buffalo Lancaster Airport, you climb immediately out of Class G at 700 feet, and then at 2,200 feet, you pass through Class E, and then at 2,200 feet, you're up into Class C, and 4,700 feet, you're back into Class E. And, you know, those of us that teach this every day, this is, you know, the alphabet of flying. But to individuals that are not looking at this, it becomes somewhat daunting. Not necessarily that we have to know the classes of airspace, but we certainly have to know the weather minimums required to operate in those classes of airspace. And one of the most classic blunders that we get, particularly when you're operating around an airport like with a Class C right behind you, we get something known as the Class E bust. This is an individual that punches out of Class G thinking that all they need is 1 mile clear of clouds, and they're now in conflict with commercial traffic landing overhead in that Class C area, and they're not giving themselves 500 feet between the cloud layer above. Not only is this a high probability of a certificate action, but it's also a probability of a possible, you know, mid-air disaster.
Okay, some of the other topics on your list are fairly intuitive: aircraft systems, aviation charts, cross-country, ATC. Tell us about the FARs, Federal Air Regulations. Now, my ground instructor told me early on that long term, I mean, once I got past the check ride, the most important thing he wanted to leave me with was not so much having memorized chapter and verse, but knowing enough about the chapters to know where to look. Is that a fair thing to expect of a pilot, or do you want him to know them in more detail?
No, there are certain regulations that we need to know, and this may sound somewhat controversial. There are some regulations that we almost need to ignore, and I say that advisedly. I'll use as a quick example FAR 91-185. This is the failed radio scenario and IMC conditions. That regulation specifies what we do if we lose comm radios in the clouds. That one, there's a lot of talk about changes necessary and what we should do in a radar environment. Other regulations, such as 91-123, that requires us to comply with all ATC-issued headings, altitude assignments, and so forth. But there's exceptions to that, and we need to know what those exceptions are. We also need to know and be prepared to defend ourselves in the event that we do break or violate any of these regulations. And just to protect our own certificate, there's things that we need to do immediately. There are things that we ought not to do. And so we want to prepare pilots to be just a little bit more savvy about the risks associated with operating in the national airspace system. Let me just quickly say that a survey was done a number of years ago of commercial airline pilots. What are the greatest risks they perceive in taking a trip? And they use as examples, mechanical problems, weather problems, passenger problems. Mm-hmm. And the number one risk that overwhelmingly was cited by airline pilots was getting from point A to point B without a violation.
Hmm.
And so therein lies, the FARs, the Federal Air Regulations, are something that that we need to understand, but we need to understand them within the context of today's operations.
Okay, now you mentioned that you may be able to get this course to spread to other airports and be offered elsewhere. Is this something you're pursuing, or are you just assuming it'll happen on its own?
Well, we're hoping that that other flight schools will pick up on it. We've gotten, I won't say rave reviews from the FAA, but we've certainly got tremendous support and encouragement from our local FISDO, our Flight Standards District Office over in Rochester. They were just very, very pleased with the fact that we're running this. The WINGS people through FAASafety.gov, they jumped on it right away and helped us quickly get WINGS certification on the program. And in fact, one individual in that program specifically helped us to design some of the curriculum subjects or the syllabus subjects that were going to be covered. One that's not mentioned for example, is the new ADAs around the Washington, D.C. area that's become made permanent, and we're going to be talking about that. Another area that's not listed here, but the FAA really encouraged us, and I should have included it, it was an omission, detailed section on ADM, aeronautical decision making.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, we will refer people to the newsletter to get the entire 13-week topic list. And Bob, this is a laudable thing to do. We hope it does spread, and let us know how it goes as these things roll on.
I sure will, Paul. Thanks.
You can read Bob Miller's Over the Airwaves, the Journal for the Proficient Pilot, at www.overtheairwaves.com. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.